All right, thank you for that introduction. My name is Drake Copeland. I'm a second-year master's student at the Mississippi State University, and I'm under the direction of Dr. Darren Dodds and Dr. Angus Cashott. And today I'll be talking about the evaluation of pre-herbicide and seed treatment on thrips infestation in cotton. Early season cotton growth habits are naturally slow, and they can be further delayed by environmental factors such as cool temperatures, soil conditions, seedling disease, herbicide injury, and insects. And specifically with this project, we're looking at pre-herbicide injury and insects, more specifically with thrips. And cotton is most susceptible to thrips damage prior to the fifth leaf stage. The impact of thrips over the past few years has been pretty detrimental. I picked 2008 because that looked like a year that we had had pretty good control of the pest. 80% of the total acres were infested, and the cost per acre was around $3.45, and we only lost about 150 bales. But moving into last season, 99% of the total acres were infested, and the cost had jumped to $17 per acre, and we lost around 2,800 bales of cotton. Here's another visual just to show how big the issue has gotten. On the vertical left axis, we have the number of bales lost. On the right vertical axis, we have the cost of control, and then the corresponding year on the horizontal axis. You can see an increase in trend from 2008 to 2012 in the number of bales lost and the cost for control. In 2012, we lost around 5,000 bales of cotton, and it was costing around $17 an acre to control. It doesn't sound like a lot of cotton, but 4 weeks into the season, and you're already spending $17 an acre, and you haven't even hit the late season pests, such as stink bugs, your bollworms, and your tarnished plant bugs, that can be pretty expensive. So luckily, in 2012, we noticed the issue. In 2013, we were more cautious of the thrips, and we still made our sprays, but we did decrease the amount of bales lost. So early thrips control can be done by soil incorporated treatments, foliar sprays such as orthene and acephate, and seed treatments. With the loss of thymic, cotton growers across the cotton belt have adopted the use of the new neonicotinoid seed treatments, such as thymethoxam or other known as Cruiser or Acceleron N, and imidacloprid known as Gaucho and Acceleron FI. Previous research has shown both of these compounds to control thrips. A study in 2002 showed that thymethoxam provided the greatest thrips control and the highest yields. Dr. Stewart did a study showing that imidacloprid resulted in significantly lower thrips numbers. And something I want to point that Chelsea pointed out in the presentation earlier, that 90% of the thrips that we're working with in Mississippi and cotton are going to be tobacco thrips. And I'll get back to that later on in the presentation. So nearly every acre of cotton in Mississippi is treated with an insecticidal seed treatment, and typically on a quarter of these acres, it will require one supplementary foliar application. But the problem is, since 2011, these foliar treatments have increased to nearly two applications on 80% of the acres. This has also coincided with the expansion of resistant Palmer amaranth in Mississippi and increased use of pre-emergence herbicides. So we're thinking that maybe these pre-emergence herbicides are affecting the efficacy of the seed treatments we're using. So the objective of this study was to examine the impact of the pre-emergence herbicides and seed treatments on thrips infestation in cotton. Our experimental design was a factorial arrangement of treatments in a randomized complete box design. We had two factors, factor A being pre-herbicide, factor B being seed treatment. Our experiment locations were Starkville, Brooksville, and Stoneville, Mississippi. Plot sizes were 4-row, 40-foot plots. They were replicated four times, and we had a total of 18 treatments. We had six levels of pre-herbicides in this test. We had Cotteran at a quart to an acre, Direx at a quart to an acre, Reflex at a pint to an acre, and Dual Magnum at a pint to an acre. We also had a combination of Dual Magnum at a pint to an acre plus Cotteran at a quart to an acre. And then we also had our untreated check. Seed treatments were at three levels. We had a fungicide-only treatment, which served as our untreated, thymethoxam plus a fungicide, and then imidacloprid plus a fungicide. A majority of the data that I took revolved around two distinct times, that being two in the four-leaf stage. We took a thrips injury rating, and the way that I did it, it was a range from 0 to 5, 0 being no injury, 5 being a dead plant. We did biomass. We selected 5 random plants in each plot, dried them, and recorded weights from that. Also, we did the thrip sampling. I used the whole plant thrip, or the whole plant method, and we also selected 5 random plants from each plot and they were taken back, washed, and counted with microscopes. Also took height at four distinct growth stages, those being four-leaf, pinhead square, first bloom, and the final plant height. We took notes above crackbow and finally yield. My data was subjected to analysis of variance using the PROC mix procedure in SAS. Means are separated using Fisher's predicted LSD at alpha 0.05, and locations were set at a random, as a random effect. Before getting to the data, I want to say that there was no significant effect with pre-herbicides. All data will be pulled across those treatments. I want to set up my data slide before getting into it. On my vertical axis, I will have the range or scale that I'm measuring, and then across the horizontal axis will be the two timings. Our check will be represented in a light green color. Thymethoxam will be represented by the orange, and imidacloprid with the green. Thrips damage rating, remember, it's a 0 to 5 scale. At both timings, cotton treated with imidacloprid has significantly less thrip injury symptomology than cotton treated with thymethoxam in the untreated check. Moving on to biomass, again, at both timings, cotton treated with imidacloprid had significantly more mass than cotton treated with thymethoxam in the untreated. Moving to thrip counts, I want to note that I'm showing only the immature thrips per five plants. At the two-leaf timing, there's no statistical difference between cotton treated with thymethoxam and imidacloprid. But as we move to the four-leaf timing, we see that the thymethoxam seed treatment has significantly more thrips per five plants at a near 136 thrips per sample. In this kind of situation, obviously, we would want to make a supplementary foliar application, but for the purpose of this study, we're just looking at seed treatments alone. So we take our damage ratings and our biomass and then our thrips counts, and we take it to the field. On the far left, I have the fungicide only. In the middle, I have thymethoxam plus the fungicide, and on the far right, I have imidacloprid plus fungicide, and the bigger differences are obvious. This is our plant heights. This is kind of a busy slide, but the main thing I want to take home is that the four-leaf pinhead square and first bloom and final height stages, cotton treated with imidacloprid resulted in a significantly taller plant. Nodes above crackbow, the untreated check, the one that lacked the insecticide, had significantly more nodes above crackbow. This represents a delay in maturity. So for the untreated to catch up with the other treatments and contain the insecticide, they would need at least 50 heat units to open up that extra bowl. And if you plant late or it's a cool fall, it's going to take a while, and that's going to sit there, and that could delay harvest and also potentially reduce your yields. Moving on to yields, cotton treated with imidacloprid yielded significantly higher than cotton treated with thymethoxam in the untreated. Here's the yields that concern the pre-herbicides. There's no statistical difference, but I wanted to show you the variation and make a note that if environmental conditions are not favorable, the pre-herbicide use can hurt you. I know, for example, this summer we're planting a variety trial, and the farmer was in the next field to us. He was replanting cotton for the second time after some reflex injury that had stayed in the soil and got rained on and got them again. So it's just something to keep in mind when we're using these pre's. So in conclusion, cotton seed treated with imidacloprid resulted in significantly less injury symptomology and more biomass than cotton seed treated with thymethoxam. On our thrip counts, there was no statistical difference between thymethoxam and imidacloprid at the two-leaf stage, but at the four-leaf stage, differences were significant, with cotton seed treated with thymethoxam being significantly higher than the others. Also, cotton seed treated with imidacloprid resulted in a taller plant than cotton seed treated with thymethoxam. Also, seed treatments like an insecticide can result in a delayed maturity. Yields differed significantly for all three treatments, with cotton treated with imidacloprid yielding the highest. And this goes along with data across the Mid-South that other extension specialists have shown. So in summary, many factors can influence the growth and development of cotton, including thrips infestations and pre-herbicides, trends in reduced control of seed treatments, compared to historical data are present, specifically with thymethoxam. And as Chelsea said earlier, there's an issue with tobacco thrips, which makes up 90% of our thrip population. So even if we do have seed treatments, it's still critical to scout and treat thrips populations according to thresholds. So in the future, research will be ongoing with this issue, looking at the impact of resistant problems with seed treatments and the effect that it has on the economics and production of cotton. At this time, I'd like to thank my committee, my fellow graduate students, student workers, and Monsanto for funding this project. And now I will take any questions.
We have plenty of time for a few questions.
Well, the question was, would I spray based on the visual evidence of thrips as opposed to the numbers that we got? Well, if the consultant is, I guess, doing their job, they should be kind of going off the thresholds listed, you know, for our cotton production guide, and therefore he would spray. But if you were to walk out there and it looks good, you probably wouldn't, but in the long run, it might come back and bite you. Yes, sir.
Did you test for interactions between your herbicide and your insecticide?
Yes, that was actually the test, and there was no significant interactions that I showed, that, and then I didn't have any main effects with pre-herbicide.
Any other questions?
The question was, if we were to wait a few more weeks on the harvest, would the untreated caught up with the treatments that included thymethoxam and imidacloprid? When you got growers that have so many acres of cotton and they're trying to get in the field in the rains, you know, it's kind of hard. And without the heat units, you're kind of relying on your defoliants and mole openers to get you to that point. So I think, if you have the right products, yeah, if you get lucky, they'll open up. But from this standpoint, it's the delay of maturity with untreated.
All right, thank you, Drake.
Thank you.